Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, we are going to have one great person on and a really, really good conversation. So I'm going to bring him on real quick, and we're going to talk about some pretty cool things. So, Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Nancy, for having me on again.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Michael. Now, Michael, I said it was kind of going to be a cool conversation, so why don't you start off by telling everybody a little bit about who Michael is and then about the book, The Holy G-Rail.
Okay. I'm an artist, a photographer, and an author. I study the Kabbalah, and that gives me more of an intuitive flair as far as sexuality and sensuality when I focus it in that direction. I also have a question and answer column with theexaminer.com, which is where I get a lot of questions from a lot of ladies and some gentlemen on problems in their intimacy or issues with their intimacy, and I try to lend them some hand there. I also have the book, The Holy G-Rail. That was an epiphany, which was, I believe it was handed to me, and I should do great things with it, and it has been doing things. It's the Holy G-Rail, which is G-spot relating anatomy into lovemaking. And I named it the Holy Grail, if you take the hyphen out, because I believe all you ladies are the Holy Grail, and you should be treated as such. And if we gentlemen do that, you will create a newness and a vitality within us that we only knew as children. So you will renew life within us if we treat you as such, and I think it's very important. And that's one of the main messages I have, you know, aside from showing the gentlemen out there how to release their ladies in a more powerful way.
You know, Michael, it's real important because a lot of people don't even want to talk about sex. They think, oh, I can't talk about that. I can't say that. I can't do that. So maybe clarify that a little bit. Is sex really something that's dirty?
Oh, no. I think intimacy and passion and on the physical, that being on a physical level, is very important. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't important in all reality, you know. But aside from a procreational tool, it really, when you open yourself, heart, mind, soul, and body to someone else, it can enrich your life tremendously. And sex is really important, I believe, in that enrichment. It's the feeling, it's the mass minds, so to speak, teaching that it is dirty unless it's used for procreation. That I think is a misstep, because it's a really beautiful thing. Desire, which is the base of sex, is the base of everything we have on this earth. It takes an act of desire to create anything. So, you know, to snuff out desire or the sexual nature is to snuff out that which we need to create anything.
Mm-hmm. When it came to the writing of the Holy G-Rail, or Grail, we'll put it so that people understand it, what prompted you to do it? You said it was an epiphany, but what prompted you to do it, Michael?
It, a little bit of history is probably due here. It took me a long time when I met my special lover, or Lady G. I call her that to keep her anonymity. It took me a long time to break through her previous conditioning with her previous long-term relationship. She had a previous long-term relationship. He conditioned her to release him and then for her to release herself. So it took me a while to break through that barrier. And when I broke through that barrier, and that was exteriorly through the clitoris, when I broke through that barrier, it was really miraculous, and there was, you know, some trust that was created there. When I found the G-spot, it was, we weren't trying. And it was so miraculous, and it was so much more powerful of a release for her that you know, I knew it was something special, and actually the title, everything, I found a way to relate the man's genitalia by texture and feel to that of what the G-spot feels like within a woman. And I felt that needed to get out there because there are so many books on it, there are two schools of thought. One school that doesn't even exist, and one school that it does exist. But a lot of people out there do not know the difference between a G-spot orgasm or a vaginal orgasm and or the clitoral orgasm. And I believe a vaginal orgasm is a combination of the two combined when all those nerve centers fire at the same time and you release, you know, tremendously that way. But I kind of lost my train of thought there, Nancy.
That's okay. When you were talking, because see, a lot of times, Michael, women, you know, like you said, have been conditioned that, you know, they're just there for the sexual part and to create babies. And for a very long time, most women bought into that, okay? I never did because I thought that was a little selfish on the male part.
Yeah.
Okay. But a lot of women did, and a lot of women still do. And so, you know, they don't enjoy sex. They don't like sex. They think that it's just something that they have to do, okay? So I think that, you know, your book, because I read it, and it's actually, it's a small book, but it really, it tells a lot of things, and it was a lot of fun. You know, I found it a lot of fun. But I think it's real important that women understand that they have just as much right to have their climaxes and enjoy it than any man does. And I think it's important that women understand that. And they're starting to get there better because they are starting to be a little bit, you know, going, well, it's kind of my turn now. But
there's no reason not to feel good about
right.
what you're doing, and no matter what it is you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important. And you've really said it very eloquently there. It is your time. And it's funny because in the dark ages and in times past, there were those women that enjoyed it, but they were labeled differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did enjoy the act, and it was done for purely the enjoyment and the sensual fact rather than the procreational fact of it. But there is nothing wrong with that, and it should be. I mean, you're opening yourself up to another human being. You're enjoying and experiencing something really wonderful, and it's important for you to enjoy it also, no matter what we do. It's so important. And through the Holy G-Rail, I show men, I gently remind them, shall I say, the basics of how to please your lover, the basics of how to create more stamina. And I also show the ladies how they can enjoy themselves and how they can communicate with their partner on those aspects, because it's really important. There's the number one word, is communicating with your partner, not just assuming that this is your role, as you said it, and that is what I have to do, and let's get it over with. Because, you know, that divine spark that we create, even when we create a child, should be done with pleasure in our hearts, not with a sense of duty.
Mm-hmm. You know, I also find it real interesting, you know, because I talk to a lot of women in my counseling too, you know, and men, and it's funny because, excuse me, a lot of them, when I ask something about sex, or, you know, how do I do this or how do I do that, but they're a little reserved and they don't quite know how to say it, but I pick up on it. So I'm very open. So I just talk about it. You know, I tell them, if you really want to have a great lovemaking session, it starts with talking first.
Yeah.
You know, the communication, the touching, the feeling, the caressing, working the whole body, not just a couple areas, because the whole body is one sensual machine that is just waiting to be explored and exploded. And they sit there and they look at me like, really? It's like, well, yeah. So
and that's so very true. It's like the difference between a clitoral orgasm and a vaginal orgasm and a G-spot orgasm. if you get the nerve centers all firing together, your whole body goes. And you know, the sexual part of it aside, sensuality and passion, the rubbing and the touching, you know, I've heard of people of being able to release, you know, mentally and emotionally that way without the physical. I mean, sexuality and sensuality, there's a good portion of it that is a physical release, but there is also that emotional release and that release of being able to trust our partners and allow them to explore our innermost nature and for them to allow us to explore their innermost nature. It's so special to be able to caress and feel and get all those nerve centers going before any of the actual physical, well, that is all physical, but the, you know, the intense physical happens.
I don't think a lot of women really know how to climax. I think that they're so held in with, what about the kids? What about the groceries? How about dinner? That they're not allowing themselves to allow that climax to really happen in a really easy flowing way. So what would you suggest for the people who are listening, Michael, to help women to relax enough to allow that climax to be really all it could be?
The first thing is to get your mind out of it, ladies. It's really important. Like you're saying, Nancy, with the children and the dinner and having to please, you know, do your duty, so to speak, you know, which a lot of women are a lot more liberal, and there's a lot of men out there that are allowing them to be that way, which it should be that way anyway. But the basis of it is you got to relax. You've got to get your mind out of it. You've got to give yourself the time to experience. It's really important to allow yourself that time. And if you do not know how to climax, you need to give yourself, set some time aside and teach yourself. The reality of it is if you don't know how to get yourself off, how do you expect your partner to get you off? They don't have a map, and each one of us is built a little differently. Now, I try to provide a slight map through the Holy G Rail by texture and feel, which is a lot different than the normal maps out there, because I give something to feel for. But ladies and gentlemen, how do you expect to receive something that you don't know how to experience by yourself? So, I mean, even when it comes down to love, you've got to be able to love yourself. And when it comes to sexuality, it's okay to draw a bath. It's, you know, I think if you're really caught up into life and you're having a real hard time experiencing that with your partner, you know, experience it with yourself. Draw a nice bath, light some candles, put some soothing music on, get out of your head, and pour some love into yourself. And that way you can, you know, be more open to it from your partner.
You were just talking about women actually getting themselves off. I think, Michael, a lot of women, again, are pretty reserved. Even if they get themselves off, as you call it, they have a guilt complex about it, like, oh, my God, should I have done this? You know, so I think women in general, and there are some men, but mostly men have been conditioned very differently than women.
Yeah.
But for a woman to get herself off, she really does need to know how to do that because, like you said, you cannot explain to a partner what to do. They're not going to read your mind. You know, their mind isn't reading your mind. It's trying to get, you know, going and get it all in there and get everything where they'd like it to be. So women in general, I think, could learn a lot, Michael, by reading your book, because most women don't even know that they have a G-spot.
Correct.
Alone, you know, experience an orgasm from the G-spot, because normally if there's anything dealing with the G-spot, most women, until they know what it is, feel like they have to go pee.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They
get that feeling, and it's like, oh, no, 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 and they shut it all down. I mean, it's just like if your child is out and you're in the middle of the act and you're waiting for the phone call, how can you relax until the phone call note comes in? You really have a difficult time. So teaching yourself is a necessity. And allowing yourself, you know, feeling dirty after releasing yourself, it's funny, you know, most men are conditioned that that's not a big deal. But even I, in my past, in my journey to where I'm at, talking about this stuff, had my times of feeling guilty and a little bit shameful, even though I'm very open about it, and I know there's nothing wrong. Where that shame came in, or where that guilt came in, was when I was hiding it from my partner. When I was, you know, just overly excited and, you know, you know, applied some good old-fashioned self-love while she was at work. And, you know, because at that time I was with a partner that wasn't very in tune to that area of life. So, you know, I would, you know, that's when I would feel the shame. So it's really important. And I felt so much better. And I learned way, and this was many, many, many years ago, I learned that you need to be open with your partner. If you play with yourself, it's okay, because it just shows, I mean, the reality of it is I'd much rather have my partner please herself when she's feeling really wound up and I'm not around, and, you know, have me come home to her in that type of satisfaction, rather than have her hold it in, get into a situation where she may, you know, find mental stimulation or emotional stimulation somewhere else. It's okay to release yourself, and actually it's very, very healthy to do that, because there's nothing wrong with it. And you're actually, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Sometimes it's very true.
It is. You know, the less you think about it, the less it's on your mind. Unless, of course, you're one of, you know, some of the fire signs and some of the signs that are more sexually inclined every moment of the day. But I find it's very important to be able to do that to yourself, and that way you can be open to your partner. And if you talk to your partner about it, they will be very forgiving and very understanding, because, as you were saying, most men are conditioned to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we find out that our ladies have been at home playing with themselves a little bit, you know, we're not going to feel bad about that. You know, as long as we were included in the fantasy, and that's all that matters, you know? Just say you were mentioning my name, okay?
What do you think about mutual masturbation?
I think that's great. It really allows you to drop your insecurities. Because that's what we're really talking about here, is insecurity. And how do people make it to the top in this world, no matter what they do? They are secure in what they do. How does a relationship prosper? You need to be secure in your partner, and they need to be secure in you. And you need to be secure in yourself, number one. If you're secure in yourself, everything's going to be perfect, because you don't have that fear. To be able to release yourself in front of your partner, and for them to do that, you know, in like kind, it breaks down those walls of insecurity. It adds a little bit of naughtiness into your play, and maybe it's something you haven't done, and it's a basic thing. It's like, it's not like you're jumping way outside of your normal realm. I mean, to some people out there, it may be way outside of their normal realm. But when you think about it, if you do it in private, why not share that with your partner? And, you know, whether you get to the point of release with each other by not touching each other or not, doesn't really matter. It's the journey that you're experiencing together.
And I think that's real important, because, excuse me, a lot of times, Michael, people, even though, you know, they may be having sexual intercourse, they're truly not together.
Yeah.
Okay? And And it's not just a woman, and it's not just a man. You know, they just have their thing. That's why a lot of affairs, to me, I think, are just so great, because people, it's exciting, and it's a wanting, and it's that lust. And people tend to lose that when, you know, they're married for whatever time. Some people lose it right away. Some people never do. But the majority of people end up losing it, which I also think is, you know, needs a little work done so people continue to have that sexuality and that wanting of their partner, you know, no matter what kind of a partner it is. That wanting is important.
It's very important. And you're saying so great, as in it seems so great to have that other fruit, or the grass is always greener on the other side. You know, I can see where people go with that. And until you, well, I don't believe it's ever acceptable unless you have that type of relationship and it's open within the relationship,
mm-hmm.
to be able to do that. And, you know, I mean, Lady G and I have a special relationship when it concerns certain aspects of things. And we all have our different wants and needs. And if it's okay with each person, it's wonderful. Now, to go outside of your marriage in secret, it can be very damaging. And I think, speaking from experience, you really need to communicate with your partner your exact wants and needs, and you need to get over the fear of them responding to you in a negative manner. Because if they respond to you in a negative manner and you are just opening yourself up and saying, look, I feel this is lacking within our marriage, and I feel that you're doing this or you're doing that, you know, it boils back down to that mind-reading game that you were mentioning earlier. No matter how many years we are together, we can't read each other's minds. In fact, I believe that at the beginning of a relationship, we're more in tune to reading each other's minds than in a long-term relationship after many years have passed, because then we get into a repetition mode, mm-hmm. and we're just expecting certain things to mean certain things when we're really not being intimate with each other and understanding each other's real motivations. It boils down to talking to your partner, and sure, the grass is greener on the other side for a while, but if you're forced to get to that point, there's something lacking and there's something that's wrong within the relationship, and you're going to repeat that unless you learn from your mistakes.
And a lot of people, they need to learn from mistakes because they don't experiment any other way. How important, Michael, is it to have toys, sexual toys, in the relationship?
I think they are great because it frees up your hands. For us guys, they're great. And for you ladies, they're great because it adds extra stimulus. Now, there are some gentlemen out there that are threatened by toys. And this is where I go back to the whole masturbation thing. You can't be threatened by your partner's willingness to explore her own self and being, or his own self and being. You should not be threatened by that, because if he's doing it by himself or she's doing it by herself, it's a good thing. You know, because then she can, then your partner can open up to you and experience those things with you. Toys are wonderful because, well, especially for the G-spot, the holy G-rail, the G-spot is within a woman, up on the upper side of the vaginal wall, up towards her belly button, tummy, somewhere around there. I show the gentleman how to find it by texture and feel. But nevertheless, if a man is stimulating that with his hand, and that's how I teach gentlemen to do that, and she is at the same time stimulating herself clitorally with a vibrator, she can obtain one of those vaginal orgasms, and they are very, very powerful. They're more powerful than just a clitoral or a G-spot. It's a combination of both, because you've got all these nerve centers that are firing up and, and are you know, sparking and becoming titillating, and when you go, it's just so powerful. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. So adding a toy to your play, whether you use it by yourself or with your partner, I think is very refreshing to a relationship. And it's really about keeping the grass mowed and fertilized on our side of the fence.
Mm-hmm. When people are having oral sex, especially a man on a woman, how important is it for him to also either use the toy or his fingers to make sure that it's a total orgasm, not just a clitoral?
You know, that's a tough one, because I'd say there's probably a lot of ladies out there that just want more time focused down there, period.
Just like men do. So.
Yes. You know, I'd say it's an equal 50-50 there, or 100%, 100%, you know. I think it's important to experience your lover to the fullest, and the toys add a different dimension and enable you to create higher and higher levels of release. And to experience that with a partner that you've been with for many, many years is exhilarating. You know, just briefly, my history, it took me a long time to release Lady G clitorally because of her preconceived conditioning. And the fact is she allowed me to study. She allowed me to fumble around and figure it out. She allowed me to continuously stimulate until her walls dropped. Let's say it that way. And it's important for us to take the time to learn each other's bodies, and verbally for us to tell you if you're in the right area, in the wrong area, if you're doing it too hard or too soft, or if it just doesn't feel comfortable that particular day. Because the reality of it is that the sensations we feel from day to day change. Mm-hmm. And what may feel great one day may be a little bit oversensitized the next. And if you just pull away, you're going to give your partner the mental response that, ooh, you don't like that. You don't want that, when it may be totally opposite. It may just be that you're sensitive and it doesn't feel the way it did a couple days ago, and you just need to stay away from that area that day in that manner. That's where communication comes back in.
Does a man have a G-spot?
Yeah. That's in the other end of the spectrum, literally. It's in his rectum.
Okay. So if a woman is trying to find a man's G-spot,
yes,
does she do it by using fingers, a toy, or?
She does it very, very carefully.
That's a good answer.
Very, very carefully. She uses lots of lubrication, and she lets him know what's going on so she doesn't surprise him, because there are a lot of guys who don't want anything near their rear. They just don't like it, you know. But the reality of it is experiencing that with your partner can be wonderful. You just need to be warmed up enough. And that's really a good barometer if you think about it, because for a man to allow a woman to penetrate him, mm-hmm. it takes a lot of stimulation mentally and physically to allow it to happen. So, guys, you really got to think about that. I mean, think about what it would take to allow her to penetrate you. And in retrospect, you need to do the same for your lover. Mm-hmm. You need to give the same amount of time and the same amount of stimulus before you penetrate her, whether it's vaginally or anally. You know, you got to take your time, and that's an area that we've messed with. And have I released that way? I've had, I would say, more powerful I've had releases that were really powerful while she was stimulating me in that area. Now, whether it was a G-spot, a male G-spot orgasm or not, I'm not sure. But, you know, we play with it, and that's what keeps the love alive, is she experiments on me, I experiment on her, and when you're with your partner in that way, intimately, there are no wrongs, as long as you talk to each other. Now, ladies, if you just try to stick your finger in there, you're going to get a scream, and he's going to go running.
Probably true. When a woman is doing oral sex on a man, most men think that their head of the penis is very, very sensitive, but there's still other parts on the shaft and everything that's also just as sensitive. Can you help the ladies out a little bit and maybe kind of describe how they would be able to find it better?
Yeah. Well, in my book, I definitely point out the magic spot, I call it. And it is on the underside of the male's penis, on his member. It's a little flappy piece of skin right below his head. That is a very sensitive spot, ladies. Now, the head itself, the back of the head and stuff, is not that sensitive. It can be, but, you know, it depends on friction and movement there. But there is that one little area, which I actually show a picture of in my book, that's called the magic spot. I call it the magic spot because the medical term is hard to say, let alone pronounce. So it's an area down below. You want to focus on it if you've got a guy that has a hard time releasing. And I've heard a lot of women that have guys that release too quickly, and that's their main complaint. So you would stay away from that area and stimulate it every once in a while, but stay away from it. And anytime he gets close, just lay off totally. And, you know, it would allow him, which I touch base on in the book, it allow him to gain more stamina. There's certain things, well, men and women, to gain stamina or strength. Kegel exercises are really wonderful. And that is basically the act of squeezing off your urine when you're in midstream. That act, if you do it during the day, guys out there, if you do that during the day, numerous times, even if you're not, you know, going to the bathroom, that will strengthen your pubic caucus muscle, and it'll allow you to gain more stamina in the act of intercourse or just, you know, in a passionate act. And ladies, that'll strengthen your muscles within your vagina, the same muscles, which will allow you to, you know, create a little tension during the act. But during oral sex, that little area I call the magic spot is the spot that really creates a lot of stimulus. And then there's another area down below the scrotum, in between the anus and the scrotum, that is pretty sensitive too.
And I think women, sometimes they would really like to be able to please the man, but I think some of them are a little afraid to try something because the partner may think, oh, that they're dirty, or, you know, what are you doing to me? Where did you learn that at? You
know, that's, yes.
And I think women need to learn how to get over that. You know, my idea is that sex is the best stress buster there is.
Totally is. And there is actually... endometriosis can be alleviated a little bit if you have sex while your partner is on her period. Release during sex when you're on your period helps with endometriosis.
See, and people go, oh, their period? I don't want to touch them. And the woman goes, oh, that's horrible. I have this heavy flow going on, and I don't want to do that. You know, so... I think, Michael, you know, stressing that fact may help people to understand that there's a lot more to your body than just, you know, trying to hold back as much as you can.
You know, it's so important.
I think having love making, using, like I said earlier, the entire body, is one of the best ways to communicate with your lover. And it doesn't matter if it's a woman, woman, man, woman, doesn't matter. It's the best way to communicate so that they really do understand that you enjoy them to the fullest, not just, you know, for that moment.
Exactly. Exactly. It just really, it's so important. And the ick factor on anything, if you, even when you're talking about anal play or menstrual play, so to speak, you know, if you've got the ick factor, use a condom.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you don't have to worry about it. And frankly, when you're doing anal play, that's probably a good thing to practice anyway. You know, using condoms, because it is the other end of the spectrum, and you should be careful about infection and those kinds of things. But there's no wrongs, and if you're thinking anything that freaks you out a little bit, talk to your partner about it. Do everything but, and just slowly get into it. And ladies, when you're worried about what your partner is going to think, like if you've listened to this show and you go for the magic spot and they're going, who taught you that? Tell them what you learned about it. You know, you listened, you're experimenting, this is what you want to, you know, I just thought I'd try it. There's nothing wrong with that. And your partner should be well, you know, very open to you doing that. You know, yeah, there are macho men out there who believe the only thing that you need is them, no toys, that the only way you have to do it is one way, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, if you really have a good relationship in every other aspect with them, then you should be able to, you know, crack the shell a little bit and open them up to newer vistas. If you come from a loving place in your heart when you approach them, that's the key, rather than a place of anger or spite because you're unsatisfied or because he's unwilling to let his macho guard down for a second. You know, come from a loving place. That's always the best place to start. And come from an emotional point of view, which you ladies are very good at. And we should, you know, he should be responsive. And vice versa.
Michael, can you tell the listeners about your website and also how to get your book?
Yeah, my website is, the easy way to get to it is holygwear.com. You can also get it at Amazon.com. If you go to Amazon, you can just, in the subject line, type in G-S-P-O-T, no spaces, and the book should come up number one or two. You don't even have to go to books. I also do a question-answer column with the Examiner.com. If you go to Examiner.com and scroll down to relationships, I am the Denver Sex and Sensuality Examiner, which through that column I find that there are women and men alike are so much more willing to open up to me because I'm a stranger. And I'm kind of, you know, I come from a place of experience when I answer the questions. So it's not so much a medical, this is how you do it thing. It's an experience. And I find that people are more willing to open up to me. And I've found that I've helped a lot of people through that. From breast cancer survivors to highly abused people.
When people go on to the thing where they can ask you questions, Michael, has there been any question that has been asked of you yet that you have not been able to answer?
There are some that are difficult. Now, when I get questions, I go ahead and research it as much as I can before I do, and then I just use my intuition and experience from that. And I can, you know, there are some that are borderline. There are some that I answer, and the answer isn't quite working because the doctors the people are looking into are not being as receptive to them as they should be. So that makes it kind of difficult at times. And there are a lot of cases of abuse, childhood, sexual abuse. And I can answer those questions and all, but it makes it a little tougher on me. I like to keep it to the more sensuality and sexuality aspects, but I'm more than happy. So I really haven't had anything that I can't answer. I don't answer unless I can.
Mm-hmm. Which is real important because some people just want to answer just to be answering, and that's not really the way to do it, I don't think.
No, you've got to have a little bit of a factual basis on what you do and research it. And, you know, I'm not a doctor, you know, for your listeners, but I have worked the school of experience for quite a few years. And, you know, I started at a young age, and I'd like to think I've done it more than this lifetime. I'd like to think I've done it for many lifetimes, or I wouldn't be being prompted to do it now. Like I say, the book was an epiphany. And so I know that I wrote it for a reason other than financial gain, because the book is really cheap for your listeners. I mean, it's like $11, so there's no financial, you know, the financial gain is not what I wrote it for. I wrote it to get the stigma of sexuality out in the open again, you know, to let people know again that sexuality is okay, that sensuality and passion, whether you release or whether it's emotional release with your partner, because there are those out there that are unable to perform. Mm-hmm. Now, the book teaches people, the guys out there, how to release the G-spot with your fingers only. I don't even talk about intercourse, or I very lightly breeze across it. I teach you how to reach in by texture and to find an area on yourself, which is the magic spot, by texture and feel. You gentlemen out there, I teach you how to find that spot and then relate it to a woman and find and search for a texture and feel to get out of your body and to focus more on your partner. And then in between the lines, through my Kabbalistic training, the many, many years I've studied it, I give you hints on how to love yourself, how to be more loving to your partner, how to approach your partner, how to be patient with your partner, because it really takes all of that to achieve anything sexually.
Mm-hmm. Out of all your experiences, Michael, which one has been the most informative, and then which one has been the most fun?
My personal ones?
Uh-huh.
I would say the G-spot, because I was able to experience something, and I was told she was experiencing it with my partner that we never dreamed could happen, a level of intimacy and release that, you know, after many, many years of being together, we had no idea existed. And I was able to do that, and then I was able, it's the same because it's fun, because I'm able to share it with other people. I'm able to take this experience. A lot of people, including family, some family, think we're crazy, because within the book, I basically lay out my sexual and my special lover's sexual life for the world to see. But I feel that it's more genuine by doing it this way, because it is true experience, and people can relate to experience much more easily than they can relate to medical innuendo and the medical terminology of things, because even with control groups, which we've had, and before I published the book, we made sure the process worked. Even with that, you've got to be able to, within your own being, know that it works, not just have learned it, studied it, and have seen the results in test subjects, so to speak, and then written about those results. I think that has its place, and it's wonderful. But these days, this day and age, I think it's really important that you come. I think people relate more to first-hand experience than second or third or fourth-hand experience. And they relate more to people who open themselves up in order to share. You know, because it in all reality, it makes me vulnerable. It makes a lot of things. And that, it's given me great joy to be able to help people in that way. It's given me great joy to be able to share what I've gone through and give people a different way of looking at their own sexual life, their own intimacy problems or issues, or just ways to excel in those intimacy, whether there's problems and whether they just want to keep that green grass, keep it fresh, keep it alive after, 10 or 20 or 30 years of being within a relationship.
Do you think that the practice of Tantra is actually good for people?
Yeah, I've practiced it. It's pretty powerful. It takes a lot of energy. Have you practiced it?
Yes, actually I took some classes on. I was going to study to be a tantric practitioner, but then I moved down to Mexico and sustained in Chicago. But, I went through a lot of the classes, and the way the classes that I went is that you did not have to come with a partner, that they actually had people there. And, it was pretty much pretty open with, what you think, what you feel. But it wasn't just the sexual part of it. It was actually getting in to the head part, where people could be okay. It got into the emotional part so that you could actually scream and rant and rave with a partner right there, and the partner would help you through it. I mean, it was very, very enlightening to see, all the different emotions that it could bring out in people. And I actually enjoyed it because I thought it was really great. When I was with my boyfriend at the time, he chose not to go, and I said, well, I'm going anyway.
And how'd that do with your relationship at the time?
Well, he was pretty much okay with most things, and I said to him, and then, I'm going to come home, I'm going to practice it on you. So,
That was it.
Yeah, he was all for that. See, I'm real open. I don't believe in hiding things from partners, and I don't believe that you have to sit there and fake things. It's just not the way, I do things. And it's not because that's the way I was raised. It's just, to me, that's where my heart is at. And I think it's really important to have, people be open and not be afraid of what they're feeling inside, not be embarrassed by wanting, some sexual whatever, whatever it may be. I think people need to not be afraid to let their partners know what it is that's going to turn them on so that they can have that great sexual experience that people are looking for,
It's so important. I haven't studied Tantra too much, but I have been able to release myself without, mentally and emotionally and physically at the same time, which was a powerful thing, and I believe that's one aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is so important. As long it's not good to deny your partner anything. And if they feel that they want to learn something and you're unwilling to learn it with them, I think it's really important that you allow them to go ahead and learn. And then through their response, through their actions, they can affect you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You can experience it with them even if you're not in it. And that, you know, that's sexually, emotionally, spiritually, religiously. I mean, I hate using that word, but spiritually, let's just keep it that way. We don't need to be on the same path in order to have a wonderful life together. We just need to be able to be open to allow each one another to experience. And as long as we know whatever that experience is happening, and as long as that experience can be shared with us, I think it's a wonderful thing. It can really enrich our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important.
Michael, do you think there's any age that you should stop having sex?
That's funny. I know. It's funny because, you know, when I was young and I looked at people my age, I couldn't fathom having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And at my age, I look at other people and you know, because I'm in, you know, I think of how wonderful it is, and you can just see the glow in their eyes. You can just see the way that they treat each other, that they've got a real full emotional, spiritual, and physical life together on whatever level it is. You can just see that glint in their eyes. And when I was real young, I just never could fathom it out of old people. You know,
mm-hmm.
And you know, at that time, old people to me was, you know, probably 30, you know, when I thought about it. And being in this field now more so and writing this book, I understand things so much differently, and you're only as old as you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel, here's a great example. You know, we have this forced upon us by certain people, or certain people force their views upon us to act our age and to get over it and dress our age and this and that. And, you know, that just angers me so much that people cannot allow, will refuse to allow other people just to do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
If they're happy and they're not hurting anyone else, I don't care if you're 90 years old and acting like a teenager. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Because if in your mind and if through your actions you really imbue that era and you're happy, what's the problem?
Right. I have to tell you a quick story that happened to me. And it was hysterical. At the time it wasn't, but it's hysterical now. I used to play racquetball all the time, and I was at this racquetball tournament. And I was standing in the women's locker room, you know, putting on my clothes and stuff, and there was this one girl talking about sex. And everybody around her was acting like she was just so dirty, you know, they were just kind of, you know, sneering up their noses and everything. And it ticked me off. So I slammed my locker door, and I turned around and I said, "Man, I love sex." It was like dead silence. And then everybody kind of and disappeared, except for the girl that was talking. She looked at me and she said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah. I think it's one of the best stress busters there is." She said, "Oh, well, my name's Karen." And I said, "Yeah, my name's Nancy." I said, "You know, good luck with your game got to play." And so later I met her again at a couple of other tournaments, and she said, "Hey, Nancy, have you ever smoked and had sex?" I said, "I don't smoke." She goes, "No, have you ever smoked and had sex?" And I said, "I don't smoke." Said, "No."
You weren't getting it, huh?
"Well, no, because I don't smoke." And she
yeah.
said, "No, a joint." And I said, "No, I told you I don't smoke." She goes, "Oh, that's probably the best sex you can ever have." So I was married at the time, so I go home that night, and I say to my husband, "Do any of your friends have any joints?" And I was in my 30s. And he goes, "What?" Because I'd never tried it my whole life.
Uh-huh.
He goes, "What?" I said, "Yeah, one of the people at the racquetball tournament told me that if you smoke a joint and have sex, it's the best sex you have." And he goes, "Oh, my God, Nancy." I said, "So why don't you call somebody?" So he did, and he brought this joint in. Now, I'd not smoked a joint before, so I didn't know what to expect. And I said, "Okay, what do I do?" He said, "You just take a drag and hold it." I said, "Okay, sounds okay." So I take this drag, and I'm holding it, and he goes, "Well, you can release it. I had a couple drags off of it, but it didn't affect me, okay? And
yeah.
He was getting higher than a kite, and I guess it was Hawaiian pot. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's higher than a kite, and all of a sudden, like within a half hour, I started breaking out with canker sores all over my mouth, inside my mouth, on my lips, my tongue, down my throat, and into my lungs. I thought
I
was going to die. Okay?
You had an allergic reaction to it.
Oh, yeah. So I had to end up calling the doctor, and the doctor wanted to talk to me. And I could hardly talk because it sounded like I had marbles in my mouth. And he goes, Nancy, you can't breathe. And I go, no. He goes, well, what did you do? I say, smelly joint. And he goes, what? I say, smelly joint. And he's going, what? I say, smelly joint. He goes, you smoked a joint? I said, yeah. And I said, you know, in my rumbled voice, I said, is there anything you can give me? And he said, Nancy, I can't give you anything. I never heard of anybody having this kind of a reaction from smoking a joint. He said, so here's what you got to do. He said, you know, you could be going into some kind of shock. So
anaphylactic shock.
Yeah, he said, if you get to the point where you really can't breathe, then you've got to go to the emergency room. He said, but just, you know, lay back, try to relax. You know, don't do a lot of moving so that you don't have to do a lot of breathing. And then I said to him, how long is it going to take? He said, well, I don't know, Nancy. He said it could take anywhere from 7 days to 2 weeks to get it out of your system at that rate.
Oh, no.
So for about 10 days, I was in the worst pain ever because I thought, really, I was going to die because I just couldn't breathe. So I go back to the racquetball tournament about a month after that, and I run into Karen. He goes, well, did you try it? I said, oh, yeah, it was sex to die for. Oh, really? I told you. And I said, no, Karen, it was really almost to die for. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, I had an allergic reaction to it. She goes, oh, my God. You know, so I'm willing to try stuff, but, you know, when I tried that, it was like, oh, I won't try that.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, there you got to be careful. I mean, no matter what it is. And you know, pot of all evils is probably one of the lesser.
Yeah.
You know, I believe these days alcohol can be way worse of an evil.
Mm-hmm.
Because it drops your inhibitions so far down. And you know, I mean, drinking and driving and that whole deal can be really bad. But at least you were willing to try, you know.
Yeah.
And
you know, I won't do it again.
Exactly. Well, you know, there was a reason you stayed away from it in the first place. You're
apparently
a very highly intuitive woman. You know, I mean, that is what you are. So, you know, your spirit was telling you no or, you know, was not leading you to it, so
yeah,
to speak.
No. And you know what, Michael, our time is up, but it's always fun talking with you. So real quickly, give out the name of your book and how people can get a hold of you.
Okay, Nancy. It's The Holy G Rail. You can get it at holygwear.com or amazon.com. Just type in GSPOT. You can also send me your questions at theexaminer.com. I'm the Denver Sex and Sensuality Examiner.
Great. Michael, thank you very much for taking the time and helping people understand a few more things that they should probably know about. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so, so very much for having me on. And, you know, enjoy the rest of the holidays coming up.
You too. You take care.
You too.
I'd like to thank you, all the listeners. May God bless all of you. Sorry I ran over a little bit, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Take care, have some great holidays, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye now.